Hello, I'm Stephen Goodwin. It's Tuesday, December the 4th, and welcome to episode number 13 of The Beer Crate, the podcast for ale lovers the world over. Each week, we'll be looking at the world of beer and brewing, investigating local, national, and international breweries, and of course, tasting a wide selection of beers, ales, and ciders. Lager boys need not apply. Coming up on today's show, we have news, the history of the Caledonian Brewery, we look at that ingredient known as malt, we have a quick tastings focus on beers from the Wye Valley, and our Try Before You Die section. Let's get cracking. News. Scottish and Newcastle are creating a new venture to re-establish its traditional brews through a company called Heritage Drinks. They will handle the UK sales, marketing and management of beers such as McEwan's, Younger's and Newcastle Exhibition. Their cider brands of Scrumpy Jack and Woodpecker are also included. This is primarily a rebranding exercise and no different to what many other industries are doing, but it is interesting that it's worked its way into beer. Prime Minister Gordon Brown is calling for a coordinated approach from alcohol producers and the trade to tackle binge and underage drinking. He met recently with manufacturers and academics and people from the British Beer and Pub Association to try and work out how these problems can be solved. Despite being classed as coordinated, it appears that pubs and breweries are getting the biggest stick. Not unfortunately supermarkets that are selling underage kids cheap beer. And in completely unconnected news, cider is on the up and up. And Merrydown are taking the Magnus approach and creating adverts designed to stimulate the feeling of handmade cider with the slogan, Made with Love. Listeners of episode 8 will recall that this was one ingredient I neglected to mention when describing the cider process. So I hope everything's cleared up now. As far as I know, all beer festivals have ended for this year, so there is no drinker's diary. This is a traditional change of season where the quality of supping ale is replaced for quantity at Christmas parties. But if you're still gagging, then at the 7th Derby 12th Night Winter Beer Festival, which begins on the 3rd of January, to your calendar for next year. Caledonian Brewery began life in 1869, when it was named the Lorimer and Clark Caledonian Brewery, after its founders, George Lorimer Jr. and Robert Clark. Despite the perceived working-class image, the germination of the brewery was formed on the golf courses, as George met and networked with the brewers of the 40 or so breweries that existed in Edinburgh at that time. Now, there's just the one. George founded the brewery using the money and estate of his father, George Sr., who died when his son was just 18, and joined forces with Robert Clark, who at the time was head brewer at the now-defunct Alexander Melvin Brewery. Their most popular brew during their early years was Lorimer's Best Scotch. Although that has since vanished, and now the best beers from their brewery include the Caledonian 80 and Duchars, which is spelt D-E-U-C-H-A-R-S, and guaranteed to confuse the foreign bar staff in London. Duchars is a light and pleasant IPA with a grassy and floral sense about it, but it's probably more known for being Inspector Rebus's favourite beer in the novels by Ian Rankin, who is also from and about Edinburgh. They also have three main seasonal ales. Six Nations, Nectar Summer Ale, the primary Scottish honey ale, and Santa's Little Helper, which, as you've guessed for this time of year, is the Christmas beer you should be seeing shortly if you haven't already. The brewery has changed owners and location a couple of times in its history, and is now part of the giant Scottish and Newcastle umbrella, but it is back at its original Slateford Road site. However, the brands themselves are owned by an independent consortium called the Caledonian Brewing Company, who also operate the brewery, and just recently bought the Harveston Brewery in Alva, Scotland. About malt. Malt is a cereal crop and is the shortened term for malted barley, which gives flavour and body to beer. The barley is soaked to make it germinate, at which point it is drained, dried and stored. This ensures the malt enzymes develop, converting starch into fermentable sugars, which complement the bitterness of hops. Like their partners in crime, malts come in a number of different varieties, based on the original barley, how much is used, and how it is handled. Caramel malts, for example, have a sweetness similar to toffee or caramel with a number of fruity flavours. is often used in amber and red beers, or, when used in greater quantities, useful for porters and stouts. Chocolate malts, however, are not, as the name suggests, chocolate in any sense, but they do impart a roasted flavour and add a walnut colour to the beer. However, a number of beers using chocolate malts will also use ingredients to add a more chocolate-oriented taste to the brew, so you get the sweetness you would perhaps expect from such a name. Crystal malts are also quite famous and are used in many places. It gets its name due to the inclusion of crystallized malt sugar, which gives the beer a fulsome caramel flavour and red colour. Quick tastings. In this section, we give a brief yet discriminating summary of a number of different beers from around the world. All have been personally tasted and graded. Naturally, everyone has different tastes, and these are mine, so your mileage may vary. Butty Beck from Wye Valley. This is a full but understated ale, with a soft and quietly dissipating head that sits atop a medium dark amber body. The taste is good, smooth and light, with a delicate fizz that subsides to let the beer go down really easily. There are a number of interesting notes here of toffee, malt and caramel, but they're only notes and there's nothing to be offensive. Despite being slightly stronger than some ales at 4.5%, this is still a very easy drinker and definitely awarded 8.5 out of 10. Wye Valley Country Ale. This is one of the Wye Valley's many ales branded under the Dorothy Goodbody brand, with a style and an imagery that harks back to a bygone age. This one is a dark ruby ale. It has a full head and it stays with you until the end. It has a solid mixed malt taste, which holds really well on the tongue without too much side contamination. This is finished with occasional nutty and floral notes and an overarching hop bitterness. It does taste stronger than its designated 6% and is a solid brew to boot. 7 out of 10. Dorothy Goodbody's Golden Ale. At 4.2%, this stays true to its word and is a light-coloured golden ale, which introduces itself through a greater aroma of hops and citrus. This hop continues with a smooth flow and gentle mouthfeel, with a few bubbles left to tingle down on the way in. It finishes as smoothly as it begins, with an additional earthy dryness, and definitely one I'd have again. 8 out of 10. Dorothy Goodbody's Christmas Ale. This is the primary Wye Valley seasonal offering, and luckily for us, it's good. This 6% beer has a golden ruby colour, a slight fizz and no head. It's also a very typical ruby beer, with fulsome malts and a delicate aroma at the back of the mouthfeel, courtesy of the spices, although to be honest I couldn't discern which specific spices are in use here. This gives it a winter ale tag, although with the roast character present on the sides, it could have been a porter in another life. This doesn't seem to be so easy to get hold of as the others, but I'd still award it an 8 out of 10. Try before you die. In this section of the show, we will cast a discerning eye over the best beers that this world has to offer. We shall mention its history, the brewery behind the beer, and why we feel this is a superior brew worthy of your attention. This week, Dorothy Goodbody's Wholesome Stout. Wholesome Stout at 4.6% was voted Supreme Champion at the Canberra Winter Beer Festival in 2002 and has since been awarded a bronze medal in the 2005 Canberra West Midlands Stout category. The stout is black with a full and creamy head, looking much like a Moonraker or Everard's Pitch Black. In fact, it has many of those same qualities, such as the richness of flavour, nutty and chocolate notes on the nose, and a slight thin fizz. It is, however, a little drier than the aforementioned beers, which does it no harm at all. On some days, the Wye Valley Butty Back Ale would win this award. But today, the stout won out because there's a slight touch of licorice on the nose. So you could say it won by a nose. As a brewery, Wye Valley is very new, having been founded in 1985 by ex-Guinness brewer Peter Amore in Canon Pion, Herefordshire, before moving to the county town in 1986. It has since moved again, this time to Stoke Lacey, and has been taken over by Peter's son, Vernon. thus beginning a family link common to so many great breweries. They currently own just two pubs, the Barrels and the Rose and Lion in Bromyard, but from small acorns. Astute listeners will have noticed a singular focus on this week's show. There is a reason. The very wonderful Claire gifted me with a hamper of these Wye Valley beers after a show I performed at work for Halloween, thereby increasing my beer knowledge. So, I decided to place them together in one episode, rather than spread them out. It's not actually a paid advert, although it may seem that way. But, disclaimers aside, this is a good solid beer, from a good microbrewery, and one that I think you should definitely try before you die. Okay, that wraps it up for this week. To give us a tasting of your opinions, you can email us on thebeercrate@gmail.com. If you prefix the subject line with two colons, you can be sure to avoid the spam filters. Remember to enjoy everything from the Beer Crate safely and responsibly, so you can be back here with us next week. Until then, cheers. Has been released under the Creative Commons Attribution, No Commercial, No Derivatives version. See www.thebeercrate.com for details.